listening to the Paul McGuire Report on Paul McGuire. Thank you for listening all over the USA, all over the world, and wherever you're listening to me on in cyberspace. I don't know how the grammar of that opening was, but so be it. There's a lot of stuff I want to talk about today, and I want to talk about the changing nature of the world that we live in terms of technology, the metaverse, Mark Zuckerberg's metaverse, the Matrix, virtual reality, and how that connects and how that plays into your real world. Now, a lot of people, and even some very smart people, you may be very smart and gifted in numerous areas. Now, I don't claim to be, an internet expert per se, but I know a lot about the internet. I know a lot about where the internet's going, and I want to make sure that you know where the internet's going. And I don't mean that in a condescending sense. I mean it in a survival sense. You know, I've been finishing up. I know I say that all the time, but there's so many changes happening in our nation and our world every single day that I'm racing to catch up in order to finish my book, Power from On High. Now, the power from on high is the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. But most people, I shouldn't say most people, I should say the majority of Christians that I've met, and again, I don't mean this to be condescending, but the majority of Christians that I met know very little about how to appropriate or how to use or how to access God's supernatural power from on high. In fact, during the decades that I've been a Christian, ever since I was miraculously saved, fleeing from a Christian religious retreat, hitchhiking on the back roads of Missouri, and many of you know that story, in a kind of Field of Dreams experience, I was miraculously saved. Now, I'm talking about miraculously saved. But since that time period, I've watched the ebb and flow of the power of God moving or retreating from our nation and around the world. Now, by that, I mean there are seasons that I've witnessed and experienced where it's like the tide is out. Let's just say, like metaphorically, the tide represents the Holy Spirit, and the tide is out. It's withdrawn. And so in seasons like that, and I would say that even up to this very moment, and there are exceptions, you may be a living exception. You may get together with other Christians, and together you may be a living exception. But I would say the majority of Christians that I know, and when I say I know, it could be very casual acquaintance, do not know how to walk in the power of God, don't know how to access the power of God. And they're even afraid, and again, I don't mean this in a put-down, they're even afraid to use words like the supernatural power of God. Like if I'm giving a message somewhere, I may use the expression, the supernatural power of God. And what happens is that sometimes it's just a momentary awkward silence because people are appraising that. Like, what does he mean by that? And that's understandable. But I would say in this season now that we're in, generally speaking, the tide of the Holy Spirit is out. And yet, at the same time, without any question about it, we are in the time period of the greatest spiritual battle in the history of America and the greatest spiritual battle in the history of the world. And we are in the last days, and perhaps the latter part of the last days. So this is the time period where, above and beyond all other time periods, we would need an authentic move of the power of God upon his people supernaturally. Because bottom line, it's just like this, bottom line. It is impossible, totally impossible, for you to live the Christian life, totally impossible for you to be victorious in the Christian life, impossible for you to accomplish the destiny that God has called you to, that he called you to fulfill before the foundation of the world. It's impossible to fulfill that destiny that he's called you. And I'm speaking to many of you right now, all over the world. And I've met many of you in many different places. And I want you to know that right now I'm speaking directly to you. Not in the sense of accusation, not in the sense of a put down or anything like that. I'm simply saying this as kind of like in the attitude or a spirit of like a football coach or a baseball or a basketball coach that's trying to get the team ready, because, you know, the goal when you play at the Super Bowl is to win the Super Bowl. Not to lose the Super Bowl, but we're in right now the Super Bowl of Super Bowls of the greatest spiritual war in the history of the world. But we cannot even begin to even imagine being victorious unless we have the supernatural power of God. Okay, let's put a comma there. Now, I want to talk for a moment about Mark Zuckerberg's announcement of the metaverse and his plans to change Facebook into the metaverse. Essentially, what he appears to be talking about is enhancing or upgrading. Right now, we have a world that is populated, your world too, my world too. It's populated by things like virtual reality. A great deal of the day for the average person, maybe not you, but the majority of people in the U.S. spend the majority of their day interfacing or interacting, not with human beings, but interacting with social media and the internet. So the world that they're living in could be described as a virtual world composed of virtual reality. Now, they may be interacting with real people they know via social media like Facebook or whatever. And so the people that they're interacting with are not virtual, they're real. They may have little icons to disguise what they look like or whatever, but when you're talking to people on Facebook or whatever, usually, there are exceptions, you're talking to people that you know or groups that you know. Now, there's other places you can go where you can be anonymous and you have a fictitious logo or a fictitious face, or you have your cat's face up there instead of your face or whatever. And that would be more of a virtual reality. And you either know the person or you don't know the person. So we've done a titanic shift. I'll measure it this way. For me, chronologically, the way I remember dates and years and stuff is I remember what I was doing or involved in, and then I connect it to a date. So, for example, in my new book, Power from On High, I wanted to get the date right, because often I'll talk or whatever, and I'll just fire out a date, and it's the wrong date. And I'm not trying to lie or mislead. I just don't remember the precise date, the year, you know. But I knew that I wrote two books during this time period. Now, the time period I'm talking about was the time period when I lived up on Lookout Mountain Avenue on Laurel Canyon in the Hollywood Hills. Because part of my book deals with my experiences living up on Lookout Mountain Avenue in the Hollywood Hills. It's a famous place. When I lived there, I knew that it was famous, but I had no clue. I had no real clue as to the fact that Lookout Mountain Avenue and Laurel Canyon was like the epicenter of a cultural, spiritual revolution that began in the 1940s. And I don't know what's happening there today. I mean, I drive up there every once in a while, but I don't know what's going on there. But when I was living there, I was producing feature films. My wife was an actress, and I was the executive producer of a film, a sci-fi film, which ironically took place in the future. And the sci-fi film, of which I was the executive producer for, while living up in Lookout Mountain Avenue, in this sci-fi film, it took place in a nightmarish science fiction future where there was a massive pandemic. A disease broke out, and it was ravaging millions of people. And so everything you see in the movie is like a road warrior, you know, the film with Mel Gibson. It's a road warrior type feel to it, but how the world became this road warrior world was due to a pandemic. Now, I had forgotten that, by the way, for many years until I saw a trailer for the movie on the internet, and in the trailer it had the prequel, you know, like an announcement of the year and what had taken place, this global pandemic, this global disease outbreak. Okay, so there are many things that I was not aware of when I was living up in Lookout Mountain Avenue that I know now. It was like 10, 20 years later that I began to uncover the real secret of Lookout Mountain Avenue. And that real secret exploded in the late 1960s, early 1970s, when anybody who was anybody in the counterculture rock and roll scene of the 60s and 70s, you know, the Woodstock generation, a lot of the rock and roll bands lived up on Lookout Mountain Avenue. I mean, like a huge percentage of them. And people like Timothy Leary, the Harvard professor, LSD prophet, et cetera, et cetera. So there was a whole secret that involved also what is known as the Lookout Mountain Avenue Laboratory. And I mean, it's stranger than real. So, analyzing where we are now, I think back at that time, because I moved there, I guess, in the mid to late 1980s. I could tell you exactly the year if I had one of my books with a copyright date. But I wrote my first book there, and I wrote my second book there while I was up there in Lookout Mountain Avenue. Now, but the secret of Lookout Mountain Avenue, I didn't find out until much later. So when I was writing my first book on Lookout Mountain Avenue, I didn't even have, I mean, everything that I had written previous to that, I wrote on a, you know, the old manual typewriters. And I'll use lots of whiteout. Whiteout saved my life. I mean, think about how far we've come technologically. Many of you don't even know what whiteout is. It's best that you don't know what whiteout is. But I purchased a very early word processing machine, which was, it really wasn't a computer. It was a computer only in the sense that it could type a document. You could erase the document and rewrite it electronically. You could store a certain number of pages, or I forgot what the files were put on. Probably one of those old big floppy disks. And it was a, I mean, that's all you had back then. The computers, the Microsoft stuff, that stuff had not come out yet. So I was writing in a time period before the technology of the personal computer came about. The internet basically didn't exist for 99.9% of all people. Now, it was just a few short years after that. I mean, a few short years, like 1, 2, 3, I don't remember, but it was like a tiny period of time. The internet began to come on board, and the first early personal computers began to come on board. And I remember being at several places and looking up at a television screen, looking at some of these early computers and surfing the net, and it blew my mind. Now, back then, there were like no ministries on the internet, practically none. People just weren't on the internet. The only person that was on the internet, and this is what caught my eye, was Chuck Misler's ministry, K-House. He was on the internet because, as many of you know, Chuck was an entrepreneur in the computer industry and personal computers and that whole thing. So it was very natural for him because he had expertise in that area to go on the internet. So I would check out his thing constantly. I would also check out Art Bell's website on the internet. I was a guest on Art Bell's show a number of times, and Chuck Misler and I became friends when he became a regular guest of my earlier radio show, the Paul McGuire show, both he and his wife. And so we got to know each other. We spoke at conferences together. He would come by in person in the studio. And so he was way ahead of everybody when it came to the internet, and he inspired me early on to get onto the internet. So I got onto the internet probably due to, well, without Chuck Misler's example and persistence, I probably wouldn't have gotten on the internet that quickly. But the internet began to accelerate and accelerate and accelerate. And it changed everybody's world. And today, there has been an internet revolution, which has which has not even begun to slow down or stop. It's changed our world. But the internet early on was both good and bad. Now, what I want to talk about is what is coming our way. Ray Bradbury wrote a novel which became a feature film called Something Wicked Comes This Way. I wrote an article once where I used that as my title, obviously quoting Ray Bradbury, Something Wicked Comes This Way. So when you look at where the internet is going, and then Mark Zuckerberg makes this announcement that Facebook is going to be the multiverse, he said an enormous amount without saying an enormous amount. He said a tremendous amount of information in that short statement. And it's essential that you and I be ahead of the game, not behind the game, on the multiverse, on the internet. Call it the Matrix, if you like, because the Matrix is really a very simple way, or somewhat simple way, to use the Matrix films as kind of an analogy of the virtual reality world that we become and what we're moving into. And that's what I want to pick up on the Paul McGuire report today. So remember to spread this message far and wide. And remember, you know, what the freedoms that we have to say what we want to say, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, the freedoms that we had on the internet have been substantially reduced, eroded, and they are seriously, seriously threatened. Now, if you are going to choose to be politically correct, and I'm not suggesting that you should be, you know, obnoxious or something, but every person has a choice, and the choices that you make reverberate in our society, culture, and world, and they actually create our society, culture, and world. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. We're going to get into what we're going to be facing with the multiverse, because indeed, something wicked comes this way. We're talking about, look at China. Communist China. It's obvious, not obvious. Communist China is a communist nation, which essentially means that it's a dictatorship. It's a totalitarian state. And they rule the people through fear, as all totalitarian states do. Total, abject fear. In fact, one of the ways you can determine whether or not a nation is a totalitarian state is by whether or not they rule the people with fear, and how they weaponize fear and paranoia. But due to technology, communist China purchased from America the highest level electronic surveillance technology. China purchased cutting edge surveillance technology from U.S. companies in the United States so that communist China could spy on its people 24/7 and totally control them through what is called the Chinese social credit system. Now, if you've never seen a video or picture of the Chinese social credit system in action, you should look at it if it's not already censored off of the internet. That's the interesting thing. Currently on the internet, truth is constantly being censored, which gives people a distorted perception of reality, and young people especially are making decisions about life. They're making decisions about which direction to take our society. And if you're doing it based on a distorted viewpoint, you can't properly navigate your life or the nation or the culture. And if you have a nonsensical view of reality, that basically means your view of reality is based on total nonsense, which is really a great deal of what is in the brains of most people. Their heads have been pumped, filled with total nonsense about crucial questions about reality and things like the nature of communism and Marxism, etc. They have nothing but foolish ideas that are based on lies and propaganda. And, you know, every time communism initiates a revolution in a country, it always starts with the seductive promises and lies. Like, we're going to create a workers' paradise, which basically means we're going to build for you heaven on earth. I mean, it's satanic sounding. Heaven on earth, a workers' paradise. Everything will be wonderful, social justice. But it never, ever turns out that way. And when you see these videos of what's going on in real reality, not artificial reality, communist China, you see through the eyes of high-powered security and surveillance cameras that are spying on all the people 24/7, and then you see digital numbers on the screen, and the digital numbers are always moving higher up numerically, or they're moving down numerically. And then these digital numbers that are moving either up or down numerically are superimposed on top of the people walking in streets, talking to their neighbors, etc. Well, what are those digital numbers? The Chinese Communist government is spying on its people 24/7, and they're calculating a running score on them. And the number goes up or down, depends upon how well the individual Chinese citizen, that individual Chinese citizen, to the degree he or she obeys all the rules of communism, obeys all the rules of the Communist Party in China, to whatever degree there are earning points for being good communist citizens, their numerical score goes up or it goes down. So, for example, if you're walking across the street and the video camera has you under surveillance, and you take a piece of paper out of your pocket, crunch it up, and litter on the street, and I know this is a trivial illustration, but your numerical score would go down a number of points. Now, if you kept doing it, your numerical score would crash. If your neighbors saw you having a scowling or frowning expression because you just heard a speech by a communist leader, and you were caught frowning while listening to the speech or scowling while you were listening to the speech, your social credit score would go seriously down. So they're constantly measuring you numerically. Now, where the punishment comes in, where the evil of the social credit score system comes in, is that your ability to get a good job, how much money you can make, whether or not you can get a loan to purchase a house, what kind of neighborhood, good or bad, what kind of job, great job, crummy job, all the things that you can and cannot do in a communist Chinese society is based on your running social credit score. And the people in communist China who have been interviewed, they regularly tell American reporters, etc., that the social credit score system is far more cruel, far more evil, far more horrible to live under. See, that appears to be like, you know, if you're a good boy, you'll get a cookie. Or if you're a good girl, you'll get a cookie, you know, and you won't get a cookie if you're a bad boy or a bad girl. It sounds innocuous when you hear it, but it's not innocuous. When you hear the complaints, and they would never dare to say it publicly, but when you hear the complaints of the people who live under the communist Chinese social credit score system, they say the communist Chinese social credit score system is 1,000 times more oppressive, worse, dangerous, cruel, harsh than the old-fashioned punishments of being fined financially or maybe thrown in a prison cell and beat up by the guards with you know, sticks, or mild forms of torture or sleep deprivation, or even serving some prison time or whatever. The people who live under the tyranny of this communist Chinese social credit score system will tell you that it's a far more cruel system than the old, you know, punishments. Now think about that. So what they're doing is they're living in a living nightmare. Where everything is controlled by computers, artificial intelligence, algorithms, spy cameras everywhere, audio, sound spying devices, internet spying devices. It's horrible. And you can be arrested in communist China for a thought crime. Well, you say, how can you be arrested for what you think? Because there currently exists a whole set of new technologies that are available and operational now, which can detect your emotional state, whether you're angry or happy, whether you're rebellious, mad, or compliant. There are all kinds of computer brain technologies that can measure your emotional state and can actually read your mind and thoughts. Now, the reading of your mind and thoughts, that technology has not advanced all the way yet, but don't be naive. The mind-reading technology, the thought-reading technology that you think is just a bunch of science fiction. Well, you need to wake up and smell the coffee. You're wrong. I used to tell this to people. I used to tell this stuff to people on my other radio show, The Paul McGuire Show, 20 years ago. I used to tell the people live on the air about all these technologies that were already out there, and people never believed me. Now, every single technology that I told the people was already out there and operational. This was 20 years ago. And people were furious at me, Christians especially, for telling them. They accused me, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. That's not true. Now, just about anybody who has any brain left at all knows that every single one of these technologies that I said is already operational 20 years ago. It is now common knowledge to everybody, unless you live in an igloo. It's now common knowledge to everybody that these science fiction technologies that I said were operational 20 years ago were indeed operational 20 years ago. Because now it's out in the open. It's not even a surprise to people. Like the microchip implant. I've written numerous books on the microchip implant, and people would be furious at me, okay, angry, saying I was lying, making it up. I wrote in just about every book I've written, I've had to deal with the microchip implant because it's so important. But I wrote a book called Are You Ready for the Microchip Implant? Dealing with the Microchip Implant. I wrote a book called The Day the Dollar Died, which warned of the coming cashless society and that a microchip implant would be used. That's no surprise to anybody today. And my other books dealt with the coming cashless society, the microchip implant. I was watching a television show. We were channel searching, so I was watching a television show last night. I think the show was actually shot in 10 years ago, about 10 years ago. And this show is called NCIS, and it's like a naval police force, you know, intelligence, bad guys, good guys type show. And in a number of episodes of this show, which goes back, I think, at least 15 years, maybe 20 years, it's been on the air. And this episode that I was watching was probably shot 20 years ago. And there's been numerous shows shot, you know, 10 to 20 years ago of NCIS when they take the bodies of people killed in a crime and they take them to the morgue, where they operate on the dead bodies to find out the exact cause of the murder or death or whatever. And right on in the show, they'll show the doctor using like a razor blade type of scalpel knife and cutting the flesh as they're doing an autopsy on the dead person. And a little, it almost looks like a pill capsule, you know, like plastic-like pill capsules that you pull apart into two pieces. Except this particular pill capsule-like shape is thinner and smaller than the pill capsule, but it's the same shape and design. And you see them cut open a body with the knife scalpel, and you see a little bit of blood. And then out pops this capsule, this pill-like capsule. But what it really is, it's a microchip implant, and they always talk about it. They talk about the fact that this person died. Why does he have a microchip implant in him? Because that's usually a sign that the individual who was murdered was a spy, or was being tracked by somebody, or was part of a special ops operation where it was required to get the microchip implant. So you regularly see on this show the microchip implant. Now, so you go back 20 years ago, people were saying I was crazy for talking about the reality of microchip implants, but there's all kinds of detective, police, you know, special ops shows on TV, episodic TV, and series. There's all kinds of TV shows that show that depicted the microchip implants. All kinds of these TV shows that talk about MKUltra and show MKUltra and show the guys being drugged and programmed in an MKUltra operation. That's another thing that I talk a lot about in my books and have had for decades. And people always say, "You're making that up. I don't believe you." But if you just go back and look at these older TV shows, they were showing all this stuff right in front of your face. It just that nobody was paying attention to it. Okay, so they openly talked about the fact that these microchip implants were placed in people's bodies so that the people could be tracked. You know, if they drove somewhere, wherever they went, the microchip implant would generate a wireless signal, and they could be tracked. And so that technology is not a conspiracy theory. It wasn't then and isn't now. Now, that technology is constantly being talked about. But in the society that we've become, so much truth, I mean, I suppose perhaps part of the reason these TV shows that would talk about MKUltra programming and the microchip implant and stuff like that, I suppose part of the reason they got away with it was because they were, their production companies are massive billion-dollar companies. You know, they're the biggest entertainment companies in the world, so they have some muscle and they can flex it. But you see, for the most part, that stuff was censored. And so now we're into the future, and, you know, the whole reality of the microchip implant evolving is really now, to anyone who's paying attention, an open discussion. I mean, so if somebody says to me, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, you know, what are you, flat out crazy? Are you nuts? Elon Musk and his pals openly talk about the coming wireless microchip implant and what it will be able to do. It's not a secret. I've talked about this for years in my books, and that is the coming technology of what is called the wireless microchip or biochip or nanochip or modified DNA, wireless system where they can embed a microchip that can both receive an electromagnetic frequency signal or broadcast an EMF signal. And it's wireless. And they talk about it openly. That the microchip implant, the nanochip implant, the biochip implant, the DNA that's modified can be used as a wireless computer-to-brain interface or wireless computer-to-brain. Now, a lot of people, I could talk to people today, right now, and they call me a conspiracy theorist and alarmist for making all this up. But that, how could that be when this is now open discussion? It's open discussion. Let me give you an example. You know, people, I've been talking about the fact that DNA can be used as a, human DNA can be used as a Wi-Fi wireless transmitter that can broadcast a signal from your DNA to a computer or your DNA to a satellite on a wireless system. So, for example, as I write about in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, I talk about the fact that the computer to brain, the wireless computer to brain system is already operational. It's not science fiction. It's here now. And I was listening to some scientists and medical doctors talk and be interviewed. And they were talking about the fact about human DNA has such an enormous amount of memory storage in it that you know, just a tiny, just part of our neurological system can store enormous amounts of data you know, all kinds of data, files, memories, video, audio. It's all, it all can be stored in the DNA cell. The DNA cell can function like an external hard drive. It has an enormous capacity for memory. Enormous. So we need to know that. Now, people have been talking about this, and it's a matter of debate. But you know what? You can only have an honest debate to the degree that you're allowed to have access to the truth, to the degree that you're allowed to have access to the real facts. See, if you don't have access to the truth and you don't have access to the real facts, then you can't really make an intelligent decision, and you're not aware of the world that you're really living in. And that's the danger of this Big Brother censorship, which continues to grow in our society. Because the Big Brother censorship is blocking from you, is censoring from you on the internet and other places, the data, the information, the real facts. You know, you should have access to that in order to make a decision. So, regarding your DNA, which does have an enormous capacity for memory, like an external hard drive, but your DNA, there are compounds or chemicals that you can put in the human body that turn the human body into a broadcasting system and a receiving system. So, depending upon what you put into the human body, you can transform the ordinary human body into a broadcasting system or a receiving system. Now, when you've added whatever components are necessary to transform the human body into a broadcasting system or a receiving system, if you add to that something like the new 5G technology, now this is something that you can easily do the math in your head and figure this out, but you've got to have the facts, for crying out loud. If you've got a Big Brother censorship world, you know, the only reason for Big Brother censorship is because you're trying to hide something. And usually you're hiding something dark and dirty. Otherwise, you wouldn't hide it. And so the modern science of mind control, or the modern science of propaganda or persuasion or indoctrination, or scientific mind control, or whatever you want to, whatever term you want to use, those terms like thought control or whatever, all of those techniques can be weaponized to dumb people down for the purpose of total control, total domination, for the purpose of turning people into total slaves. So what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is, if you deliberately block and put up walls that deprive people access to the truth, knowledge, and scientific facts, then they don't know what's going on. The reality is that with the new 5G technology, depending upon what a human being takes into their body, that human being can use the wireless 5G technology, which is a very, very high-powered EMF field, electromagnetic field. In fact, 5G is such a powerful EMF field that it's in the same area of electromagnetic frequency as EMF silent sound weapons are. That means if you've ever seen a military video of the military aiming a silent sound weapon at a crowd, what you'll see is as people are being hit with this invisible beam of high-powered EMF energy operating in the range of 5G, as people are being bombarded with those invisible rays or beams, they start to jump and shake like their bodies were set on fire with burning gasoline, except there's no burning gasoline. They're acting like somebody poured gasoline on them and then threw a lighted match on them, and their whole bodies were torched and burning up. And so you see them on camera, and they're jumping and jerking around like they're on fire, because they are on fire neurologically. But what's really happening is they're being hit by a 5G EMF weapon that makes their body and their brain feel like it's burning up. And they'll run hysterically or dive into a lake or whatever, anything. But mainly they'll run. It causes crowd control because it causes one person or a group of people to immediately run and disperse as they're being hit by this invisible beam of electromagnetic frequency. It's a weapon. Now, also, if you wanted to, you could turn up the EMF frequency even further, and it wouldn't just give you a burning sensation. If you turned up the EMF frequency further, you could kill somebody with it. You could cause a heart attack. You could cause insanity, depression, elation, euphoria. You could cause anger. You could cause paranoia. I mean, the range of what you could do to somebody through an EMF field is endless. So going back about 15 years ago, the communist Russian secret police were caught beaming a silent sound electromagnetic frequency weapon at an American embassy, and they targeted members of the embassy in the American embassy building with this EMF silent sound frequency, and the people they targeted died of cancer or other diseases, or you can create heart attacks. Now, people again will say that's impossible, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Shut up. Really, my words to those people are shut up or put up. Do your homework. Read. Because you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not trying to be rude, but you really don't know what you're talking about. You have no clue. Therefore, you're clueless. If you're clueless, you're oblivious. If you're oblivious, you're living in oblivion. Oblivion is the state of non-existence. So if you have no knowledge, you have no power. If you have no knowledge, you're oblivious or clueless. If you're oblivious or clueless, you're living in oblivion or non-existence. You don't matter. You don't count. You're a non-existent being. Because that's what happens when you choose, with an act of your will, to be stupid. And the only deterrent from that state of consciousness that we call stupidity is knowledge, which produces power. So, as we move further and further into the future, when Mark Zuckerberg was talking about the multiverse, he was talking about the expansion and acceleration of like a matrix-type world, the expansion of an artificial reality type of world. And we're already there, by the way. A man I greatly respect is a guy named John Whitehead. He was the founder and the head, still is the head of the Rutherford Institute. And he's a constitutional attorney. He's famous. He's one of the best. And he's also a vigorous defender of civil liberties and a vigorous defender of religious freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and other things. And he wrote an article entitled, What Mark Zuckerberg Really Means When He Talks About the Metaverse. And then it says, underneath that, the company is doubling down on user surveillance. So what he's basically saying is that, but underneath the fancy terminology and the fancy logo of, you know, that swirling, it looks almost like an infinity logo. Underneath all that fancy logo and the fancy term metaverse, he says that that the company is doubling down on user surveillance. Now, it's not just Whitehead who's warning about that. There's many experts and researchers who are saying a similar thing. What these writers and researchers and attorneys are saying that we're already in a matrix type of a world. We are already in a world of virtual reality, artificial reality. Like I said at the beginning of the Paul McGuire report, the average day for the average person, is immersed in watching or listening or interacting with social media, the internet, video, audio, et cetera, et cetera. It's like an alternate reality for them. But it's going to continue and accelerate into this matrix type of world. So the matrix world in the movie, like Matrix, the new Matrix movie is Matrix, Matrix 4 Resurrections. And it's this entrance, depending upon whether you take a red pill, you'll see reality as it really is, or if you take a blue pill, you'll see like a sedated, tranquilizer, euphoric reality, which is artificial. So it's always like happy days are here again when you take the blue pill. And when you take the blue pill, you see none of the nasty, ugly truths about the real reality, starting with the fact that you're not walking around this like paradise type of world, which you think you are because you took the blue pill. You took the red pill in the Matrix movies, you would see reality like it really is. And you would be in for a rude awakening because you would discover if you took the red pill that you're not walking around in paradise, but you're lying on this like operating table with all kinds of wires and electrodes and hoses embedded in your brain and your body. So the ugly truth is, if you took the red pills, that you're like the living dead. You're like somebody who's being kept alive artificially through electrodes and wires and pumps and stuff like that. And your body's emaciated, and you're really in a room that looks more like a hospital in the worst of ghettos. And so the whole world is like a ghetto, violent, destructive, falling apart ghetto. That's the real world. Now, most people don't want to know what the real world looks like. That's the message of the movie. They would prefer to live in the world of illusion by taking the blue pill, where everything looks like you're in paradise. That is exactly how it plays out in our world today. Even among people who say they're Christians, Christians who know nothing about reality, who know nothing about what is going to come to our reality, Christians who are oblivious and have no clue about what's really happening in our world, That's the majority of Christians. They've chosen to be oblivious. So using the matrix as a metaphor, all these Christians, the majority of Christians have taken the blue pill. They're sedated. They're in an artificial reality which where they only see like happy things. And they are oblivious to the truth. Now, for those people, which would include Christians or even non-Christians, who bother to take the red pill, which opens their eyes to the real nature of the reality that they're living in, the red pill will blow your mind and you'll see the brutality and the shock of this science fiction nightmare world that you're really in. Now, I want you to just pause with me for a moment. You know, the Matrix movie obviously is made by two really good filmmakers, two brothers, okay? They're not Christians. They don't claim to be Christians. But, and you can, you know, do all the tricks in the Matrix you want to do, and you're not going to find freedom, and you're not going to find truth, because the Matrix is nothing more than a fictional movie with some occult overtones. So you can watch the Matrix, you can binge watch the Matrix, you know, 24/7 for a year. And in one scene, the character says, "Fly me," and gives the hero a psychedelic drug, mescaline, which is a psychedelic drug. It's a mind-altering drug that causes you to hallucinate and stuff. And by the way, I strongly suggest that you or your children or whatever never ingest mescaline or LSD or one of those drugs. Those drugs have the potential to blow your mind. That's where the expression came from. But they have the potential of driving you insane. Now, I just want to add that as a word of warning, because I don't want anybody to walk away from this program with some kind of romanticized notion that taking LSD or mescaline is going to enable you to see the truth. There was a time in my life that I was on a pilgrimage for truth. I talk about this in my new book, Power from on High, where I decided to do a personal scientific experiment in my second year of high school. I acquired a medical grade mescaline after reading the book Heaven and Hell and the Doors of Perception by Aldous Huxley, which described Aldous Huxley's scientific experiment in taking mescaline and going through the doors of perception. That's how Jim Morrison of the rock band The Doors, the reason he called his rock band The Doors, it was based on Aldous Huxley's book, Heaven and Hell and the Doors of Perception. Well, I took mescaline I didn't take it to get high. I took it as a personal scientific experiment. So I quote, went through the doors of perception, and I don't want to get into, I get into the experiences more in my book, but let me add, I turned out fine by the grace of God. A lot of people turn out fine, but I know people who lost their minds on psychedelics and psychedelic and milder drugs with psychedelic properties. And so, you know, you don't want to gamble with your mind. So it's not a joke. And I guarantee you this, you're not going to find the answers to the meaning of life through mescaline. I know, I tried it. I tried mescaline, LSD, and other psychedelic drugs. So I would caution you and your children or whatever. Well, enough said on that. So in the movie The Matrix, there's this artificial world, depending upon the red pill or the blue pill. So ask yourself the question, what's the purpose of this artificial reality that's being constructed all around us? What's the purpose of the multiverse, which, despite the fact that Mark Zuckerberg announced it, it's really been, you know, in the beginning stages operationally for quite some time via virtual reality technologies. What's the purpose of that? Well, there's a warning, okay? And the warning is that you can very easily switch on a mass artificial reality over a nation and over a world. You can turn on a mass artificial reality, which is you can turn on or activate through the internet and social media type technologies, you can activate a matrix world or a multiverse or a virtual reality. So what would be the purpose of that? Do you think the purpose of that is to provide you with entertainment? Do you think the purpose of it would be to provide you with escapism, like playing games or watching movies or whatever? What would be the purpose of plugging millions of people into an artificial reality or a virtual reality? What would be the purpose? I mean, you got to think through things. I'll tell you what the purpose is, and I write about it in my new book, Power from On High. And you need to understand this, and I don't want to sound pedantic or like I'm talking down to anyone, but this is like an earthquake of enormous magnitude that's just about ready to shake the earth with a violence we've never seen before. That's what this artificial reality that's coming is going to bring. Because when you unite this with AI or artificial intelligence, you now have artificially intelligent computers and robots that have brain power that is significant, and they can artificially control every aspect of your life, and they can function as a totalitarian state, they can function as a dictatorship, because these technologies, got to understand, the technological developments are accelerating all around us with lightning speed. And if you don't know what's going on, you will be trampled by it. You will be run over by it. You will be roadkill for the devil. I don't want to describe to you what roadkill for the devil would look like, but I figure you could imagine it yourself. It would be nasty and obviously not something you would want for dinner. So, the first thing we have to understand is with this artificial reality that we already have, which is the world of the internet, the world of social media, et cetera, we do have a significant beginning of an artificial reality world. But the downside of that is this now has the capacity for total dictatorship, total electronic control, total domination, total control of your thoughts, police state monitoring, and the ability to conduct mass surveillance on every microscopic aspect of your life. And then either to reward you or punish you severely for obeying the dictates of the dictatorship, or punish you for disobeying the orders of the dictatorship. Now, that's already implemented, because you and I both know that embedded in social media, embedded in the internet, is a very intrusive system of rewards and punishments, just like the Chinese social credit score system, except the American version has like a button with a smiling, big smiling, happy face on it. It's more concealed, it's more subtle, but it's just as intrusive. if you have a blog site, if you have a website, if you have some kind of video site or audio site or podcasting or YouTube or any number of social media technologies, and if what you communicate, even though that it's true and it's factually proven, if what you are communicating over social media, just merely asking questions, that's enough to get you pulled off social media. That's enough to get you censored from social media. And then you're punished. You say, well, how are you punished? When you are attacked on social media or censored or demonized on social media, you are attacked not only in those areas, your occupation, your job, your livelihood is threatened, if not hurt. Your ability to get loans is encroached upon. And you become a target. You are profiled. You are identified, just like you are in a police state. And the question is, why? Because you have to understand that you really are in a form of the matrix. You have to really understand that you are living in, to whatever degree, a virtual reality or a multiverse. You have to understand that, yes, indeed, you live in such a world. And it's not, you know, it's not like a paranoid nightmare. It's true. And so one of the first things that all of these technologies do is they have a flip side. They have a boomerang effect. All social media, all internet technology has what I call a boomerang effect. You throw it out there, and it, if you're not looking, you know what happens with a boomerang. It can slam you in the head like getting hit with a hardball in the face. I mean, it can knock you out with such the power of the boomerang coming back in on you and hitting you. Is not something you want to experience. So what happens is the same technologies that create the artificial reality, the internet and the social media, are the same technologies that can be unleashed with the click of a button, activating a computer algorithm, activating artificial intelligence. These same technologies can intrusively spy on every aspect of your life. They can sell all your personal data. They can disseminate all your private information. They can exploit you. They can target you. They can profile you. And potentially, your life could be a living hell. Even my decision to record this program at this moment bears with it consequences. Now, I'm committed to communicating truth, especially the spiritual truth of Jesus Christ being God. There are very powerful people and many technologies that are programmed to censor me, to take me down, to remove me, because they've been programmed to attack, remove, and censor anything that communicates a positive Christian message or a message of the truth, or truth of any kind. You already know this. It doesn't take much sense to figure out that the question with the internet and social media is not whether or not what you're saying, what you're posting, not whether or not it's true or factual. That's never the issue. The issue is there's somebody somewhat invisible, some group somewhat invisible that wants to shut off the truth. They want to conceal the truth so they can control people. They don't want the truth to come out about so many things. So they use algorithms and computer software and other technologies to censor, like Big Brother, to shut down the truth. So, for example, the most rudimentary and honest question that any parent, that any individual should have the right, should have the constitutional right to get answers to, here's a prime example. The vaccination. All I want to know is, tell me the facts. Tell me the facts, whether they're good, bad, or ugly. But don't conceal and hide the facts from me, because you're trying to manipulate me and to control me to do something that may or may not be in my best interest or my children's best interest. Don't censor from me intentionally. Don't conceal from me intentionally the truth regarding the vaccines and the vaccination and COVID. Don't hide, bury, and conceal the truth from me, like Big Brother in the novel 1984. Don't do that to me, because the only way, why? Because your individual health, my individual health, the health and longevity of our children and grandchildren is directly connected to whether or not you and I have the truth. Cut this baloney and barrage of you know what, where you're constantly spouting off like a parrot on dope, like a parrot that's drugged out of its bird, no pun intended. Don't parrot to me this, I trust the scientists, let the scientists, you know, that mantra they always use. By the way, that little mantra about the scientists, that's called scientific mind control. It's repetitive verbiage being repeated over and over again to bury itself into your subconscious mind and control the thinking of your conscious mind. It's also an irrational statement, and it's also a self-contradictory statement about trusting the scientists. Because let's just look at this from a rational, analytical, objective, logical point of view, and cut the you know what. Okay, let's get to the truth. It's the truth. Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So let's get to the truth, not the you know what. I don't want that. I don't want that. That's not going to help me. It's not going to help you. I want to know the truth. And the more effort and money and power you exercise in hiding, censoring, and concealing that truth from me, should logically and rationally lead every one of us to raise the level of our scrutiny, our suspicion, our analytical ability. Because why would a group and organizations and you know, billionaires and the United Nations and all these globalist corporations, why would they bend over backwards to censor, hide, and bury from everyone the real facts and the real truth regarding COVID and the vaccines? Why? Well, you know why. There's obviously something that's problematic. There's obviously something that is like a red flashing warning light that's saying danger, danger. Okay? There's an alarm bell going off. And so instead of giving full disclosure, which, by the way, if we really are going to follow science, if we're really going to, instead of just shucking and jiving and lying to people about following the science and the scientists like a dictatorship would, tell the truth. Tell the people the truth. You know what? You raise that question, you'll be punished. Think about that, and there are ramifications to that, and they're harmful ramifications. Okay, we'll be back in just a nanosecond. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in a second. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We are communicating the truth because it's only the truth that sets you free. So, you know, this constant barrage of let's just trust the scientists, let's, you know, that's a bunch of mind control phooey. It's phooey. And I could say a stronger word, but I'd offend some people. Because if you look at that logically and analytically, it's a contradiction. To use that terminology about let's just trust the scientists is a total contradiction in terms. Why? Because to trust the scientists directly implies that you're going to trust that the scientists are going to abide by what is commonly called the scientific method. If the scientists that you're supposedly trusting are not abiding by the scientific method, then they're not functioning and acting like scientists. You can call them whatever you want, but they're not scientists. And what is the scientific method? The scientific method is the using of empirical evidence to prove a theory. It's not opinion. It's not, you know, I had a dream last night. It's factual data. It's objective data that can be proven. That's called empirical evidence versus opinion or hoopla or hype or whatever. And the scientific method is what every true scientist must abide by. Therefore, you can't egregiously violate the scientific method and then come around and tell me that you're trusting the scientists. Here's an example. The normal scientific medical protocol in testing a potential vaccine or a potential medication requires years of testing, of experimentation. And all these checks and safety checks that go on for years before it is scientifically and medically allowed to be used on the general public or the general population. So here we have a vaccine that has come from nowhere, apparently the Twilight Zone. And there has been an egregious violation of all methodologies, such as the scientific method, empirical evidence, medical rules and regulations, have all been violated, have all been trampled upon to rush in this unproven, untested vaccine. That is a violation of the scientific method. So how dare you tell me to trust the scientists if the scientists themselves are not functioning as scientists and are violating the scientific method? The other thing is, why do you feel it's necessary to completely hide and censor the specific truths regarding the vaccine, such as give me precisely and exactly what is in what properties, what substances, what components are actually in the vaccine? How do you expect an intelligent person to make an intelligent decision if you've hidden or concealed the facts regarding exactly what is in the vaccine? And what are the dangers as well as the benefits of the vaccine? All of that is censored on the internet. All of that is censored by mainstream media. All of that is censored by social media, etc., etc. And you will be attacked if you dare to raise these questions. So the obvious question is, why is it that these things are being hidden? And what about the track record of the people, of the organizations, of the corporations that are all behind the vaccination? What is their track record? And why is their track record not available to us so that we can make a decision? And then instead of using simply every time an individual raises a rational and intelligent question regarding COVID, the vaccination, the vaccine, why is it that because you dare to ask a sane, rational question about COVID or the vaccine, that then you're immediately attacked and demonized? You are called vicious names. All of that is an attempt to bully you, which is what they do in totalitarian governments. All of that is an attempt to bully you and to get you to shut up for fear. Or to use the word, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. Forget about all the words and the name calling. Just answer the question. What are the components of the vaccine? And when the question is raised, and it's been raised a lot lately, and it's been raised for quite some time, the question is there some kind of substance or component in the vaccine which turns the human body and brain into an electromagnetic frequency broadcaster or transmitter, or turns the brain and body into an electromagnetic frequency receiver? Now, if you ask that question, you're immediately accused of being a conspiracy theorist. There's one thing about saying something. There's another thing about simply asking the question, that you want the facts, you want the answers. Don't just brush the people's questions into the garbage bin by saying it's conspiracy theory. Just give me the facts, the truth. Is that true? Is it a potentiality? Is it a possibility? Or is it just total nonsense? And precisely what ingredient in the vaccine is it that causes a certain percentage of medical professionals to ask that question? Instead of just the name calling. You see, the name calling, the bullying, the intimidation, censoring you from social media, taking you down from social media, attacking you, all of that is nothing more than a totalitarian style method of trying to dominate you and control you. It's not a hallmark. It's not the evidence of a once free nation called America that has a constitution and a bill of rights and freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of the press. All of that is trampled on and destroyed by totalitarian methodology, which pulls in and incorporates the internet, eventually the multiverse, computer algorithms, artificial intelligence, which censors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You want to know the truth. And then, you know, there have been very serious questions raised by extremely prominent and powerful doctors, physicians, world-renowned medical researchers who are at the top of their game, that are highly respected, that have won the Nobel Prize and many other prestigious awards. There's a huge number of doctors of the highest caliber out there that are asking questions like these. And they're not calling people names. They're not disparaging people. They're looking at the evidence. They're talking about the scientific evidence and research. They're raising real and valid scientific and medical questions. And they have, I'm talking about these renowned physicians and doctors and medical researchers, they have, in increasing numbers, they have been asking tough and hard questions regarding the vaccination and COVID, and they're being attacked. They're being blocked off mainstream media. Well, you have to ask the question. I can think of one, well, I can think of many cable news networks. One that everybody seems to think is conservative. I don't think that they're conservative. Maybe they used to be. They're not anymore. But how do you expect that so-called pseudo-conservative cable news network? There's a reason why, with maybe one exception, all of their on-air personalities never ask the tough factual questions on the vaccine or COVID. There's a reason that there's almost a total censorship of the real facts regarding the COVID vaccine. Just look at who the major advertisers are on this cable news network. Well, you already know it's one pharmaceutical commercial after another. If you turn on this particular cable news network and just watch several hours of it in the evening and watch the percentage and the amount and the number of commercials that this cable news network airs, and you observe that the commercials that the cable news network airs are all produced by the big pharmaceutical companies, the pill manufacturers, the drug manufacturers, the pharmaceutical manufacturers, the people who manufacture the vaccinations. So how is it that you can remotely expect them to be objective and to abide by any journalistic standards if it's blatantly obvious that they are funded largely through the advertising revenues of the pharmaceutical industry? Well, you're not going to get the truth from them because they can't offend their ad. It doesn't matter what they say. Business is business. And they can't. They're in a position where they can't or refuse to offend the people that are spending major bucks, big bucks, on their news network. And the amount of pharmaceutical companies selling medical stuff and pills and medicines, it has an astronomical percentage on that news network. So they don't want to bite the hand that feeds them. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. It is important that we spread the truth in every area because we can only give answers to people and guidance to people and direction to people to the degree that we're willing to at least discuss the truth. I will say, as I've said many times, I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to be a doctor. If you want medical advice, seek the opinion of medical professionals, and not just one. The Bible says, you know, we're supposed to seek the counsel of a multitude of counselors. That means a bunch of counselors. So you'd want to seek the medical advice from a substantial number of credible doctors so that you can read the different opinions. It's only by comparing and contrasting the respected opinions of different medical doctors that you can arrive at a conclusion for yourself. And that arriving at a conclusion for yourself is entirely based on whether or not you're willing or not willing to pursue the truth. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Remember to spread this message far and wide. And also remember that we have numerous social media platforms. If you can't find us for whatever reason on one particular social media platform, make sure you go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And just with a click of a button, you'll see the logo, the icon of numerous social media platforms that we're on, and choose one. You know, if you can't find us on one, then go to another. But the central point To find us is at paulmcguire.us. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire.